From historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, this is The Seminary Explores. Conversations about people, politics, theology, and life with your host, Dr. Nelson Strobert.
Welcome to The Seminary Explores. My name is Nelson Strobert, and today my guest is Professor Maria Erling, who is Professor of Modern Church History and Global Missions at the Lutheran Theological Seminary here at Gettysburg. Welcome to the Seminary Explorers again.
Thank you.
In our new format. The reason for this conversation is something that grew out of last year's Ministry Institute, and that was American Apocalyptic.
Yes.
And I want to ask you, just to begin with, what do you define as American Apocalyptic?
Well, I was really glad to have this chance to do some work with American history, religious history, for the students and the pastors and the alums who come to the Pastors Institute, Ministry Institute. Because it's hard sometimes to get a very strong interest in doing American history. But we have some incredible stories in our religious history that touch upon some very dangerous ideas and some very hints even of violence, of cosmic struggle, all of the themes that are very much present in apocalyptic literature around the world and in our own scriptures. So when we start to talk about end times and about God's battles,
right,
against forces of evil and all the fighting against good and evil, those themes do come up in American religious history also. So I thought, when I knew that the students and the participants in the Institute were going to have presentations from one of our other professors, Dr. Carlson, on rapture theology and Book of Revelations, I thought a very good partner to that series would be to look at our own American history and to look at characters who, in our own stories, were advocating similar kinds of ways of looking at the world, these apocalyptic things, ways of looking at the world that would define us against them, that would look at our history as a place of struggle, that God would intervene,
mm-hmm,
that there would be some kind of victory for the elect or righteous, but that the forces of evil would be set aside.
Well, and that is part of our present history, our present living, in that, in terms of when we began the new millennium, and there was just lots of talk about the end times, people giving up money, giving up possessions, moving. So it's not something that's very remote from us or that is just relegated to the scriptures, but something that's very present.
Yes, and it's also present not only in fringe groups, but it's present in our popular culture. And once you start to identify what that is and start to look at our history and then our current experience,
mm-hmm,
I think it's important for us to be able to say that apocalyptic informs the way we think about the world, even in mainline Christianity, because we're so influenced by this context of struggle and battle and all or nothing kind of thinking, that once you start to recognize that, then you my expectation and my own thinking about that is we can't point our finger at other cultures and other peoples and say these are fanatics and fringe group people. Only they would think this way. So I use these kinds of courses in a way to sort of what my own dissertation advisor and when I was learning how to write history said that one of the purposes of history is to make the strange familiar and to make the familiar strange.
Oh, could you say that again?
To make the strange familiar and to make the familiar strange.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always try to do, when I do my teaching about these things, is to try to think about that little rule and that principle and for us to look again at the things we think we know so well.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we start to label something as so strange, to look again at that
right.
and start to recognize how common features are there, too.
You just mentioned the fact that we often think of fringe groups who are involved in this type of thinking. When you look at denominations, American denominations, and let's say bring it closer to home to Lutheranism in America, have Lutheran denominations been a part of this type of thinking?
Well, I think when they participate in certain social movements, they are doing that. And this is where I think that the anti-slavery campaigns that went on in our country
mm-hmm.
were important moments when apocalyptic thinking was very important. Let's
say some more.
Well, say, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his fateful lightning, his terrible sword. His truth is marching. That's about the most apocalyptic song you can imagine. We teach that to the grade school children. Right,
exactly.
And it's part of their sixth grade school programs. Where they're singing this song, and they don't really understand quite how violent this is and how the battle against slavery, the battle against... it had to take on that kind of a dimension, maybe,
mm-hmm.
in order to get through conventional ways of thinking about race or social life mm-hmm. in our mm-hmm. country. I mean, they really did feel they were on a crusade that was quite powerful and that God was on their side.
Right, exactly. When you think about, who are some of the people, when you've done your research, who are some of the people who come to mind some of the people who've come to mind in your
Well,
in
one of
work.
The things that is very important for us, and Lutherans have done less thinking about this than others, is what is thinking about what America means
okay.
to the religious tradition. And there are other religious traditions that have done this more explicitly. The Puritans are thinking about coming to America and as a place of purity, and it's a new promised land. It's God acting all over again to deliver them from bondage, religious bondage. So you have, and then we would, in the series of looking at this, would say, well, what did the Puritans think they were doing? Was this the new thousand-year kingdom that they were inaugurating here? And so then they get into all sorts of trouble because people are people, and they're just as sinful in America as they were before. And then, of course, there's the inconvenience of the native inhabitants.
They just happen to be
here. To be there. And what does that mean? Does that mean that there are some lost tribes of Israel that came here? Many did think the native inhabitants maybe could be connected with the scriptures that way,
mm-hmm.
that they were part of these lost tribes that had come here. And the clearest example of that thinking were the Mormons, the Churches of Latter-day Saints. And they really participated in popular speculation that maybe they would find tablets, or maybe they would find a reference to the Israelites, or maybe the languages that the native people spoke were somehow Semitic languages. So there was a lot of that kind of speculation in the early period of the 19th century. It was also a time of revival and
right.
a lot of religious enthusiasm
right.
going on, too. So you have Joseph Smith's fantastic creativity and his explorations of the landscapes around where he was, his digging around and mm-hmm. finding these stories. And then also this religious tradition has such a rich explanation for what America means. I mean, it is a new place of salvation. Jesus had come to visit after his crucifixion, that the native tribes had all sorts of warfare back and forth between each other. So it was quite appealing
mm-hmm.
For popular society. It seemed to make sense of America
mm-hmm.
in ways that other religious traditions had really a very limited understanding of what America could mean.
Okay.
So that's... We would explore themes like that and look in the different traditions that way.
And what about, you mentioned the 19th century. What about the 20th century,
Well, those are the days when you start to get some real separations between mainline Protestant religions and then groups that really become very critical of society. They pull away, they become separate. And in those communities, there you get the development of a lot of technical theology about history that's more pessimistic. One thing about apocalyptic ideas is that they are pessimistic about what humans can accomplish and what kind of progress they can make. So they come up with these theories of history that involve catastrophes where God will wipe away. They're called dispensations.
Mm-hmm,
like
right.
Seven or eight or three dispensations. They look at biblical history this way, as it's composed of these different dispensations. Then there are these times of destruction, and then there's another dispensation that comes. So during the 20th century, you start to get much more elaborate schemes about these this different pessimistic way to look at history. So that there might be many points at which very faithful American believers who feel left out maybe of the progress that's going on, who see the wars that are happening around the world, where they see signs that, things are not getting better and better and better and better and better in our world. Instead, things are lurching from one crisis to another.
And I think we, in some sense, we see that now as we get through this terrible winter, in the Northeast, there are people saying these are the end times. These, God is saying something to us. I've heard this, just out in the public, and I start reflecting and say, where does this come from?
Well, one thing that I thought I should do is to make people squirm a little bit with this idea of apocalyptic, because I think if you look at the environmentalist rhetoric, Al Gore's movies, his work, the Kyoto climate protocols, and if you look at that rhetoric, you see that being also participating in this crisis mode. We have to do something right now. I think when I was growing up, it was more about population growth, where we were frightened all the time that population growth would happen so fast that we would eventually be too crowded to live.
That's right. I remember.
There wouldn't be enough air.
I remember talk about that. Yeah.
Yes, and we have to limit our family sizes because we're going to quickly outrun the resources. Well, now that's shifted so that people on the left, people who are liberal, also participate in this psychology of invoking crisis in order to get people to maybe aroused so that they would change or to pay attention. We only have this brief window for you to respond. Otherwise, we're cooked. kind of language, and I think there's not much difference between apocalypticism on the right and the left.
Okay. If people wanted to do some more investigation on the topic, where would you direct them? What sources would you recommend that people look at?
One of the books that I'm going to be using in a class later this semester is for a class I'm teaching on fundamentalism, and fundamentalism as a religious movement. And it's a book by Reza Aslan. It's called Beyond Fundamentalism, and it's a really has a nice. It's a popular book, and it just came out about a year ago. Actually, probably about 3 years ago. But he wrote it after 9/11, 2001, to help North Americans understand where the terrorism movements in the Muslim world had originated. And he does do a very good job of defining what the fundamentalist approach is, and that is to get beyond a commitment to this world,
mm-hmm.
and instead to be casting the meaning and purpose of history in these cosmic terms. And his strong example is that people have lost their identities as citizens of nations. And in our global context, new identities are coming in to fill the gap. So instead of having an identity as an American or be the patriotic American,
right.
If you would go to look at Muslim countries, people are not proud of being Saudi Arabian or being Yemeni so much, but are using their religious identity in new ways to motivate them and to help them think about the purpose of the world. And the purpose of the history that they're part of and where they should act. And once you've done that, there's, of course, wonderful possibilities for unity that can come out of people holding on to a religious identity over patriotism to their nation.
Right.
You know, and many of us will think that way, that it's it's very positive for us to have international sensibilities.
Yeah.
But also it also can mean that we are less committed to our place in our communities and our citizenship that way. And we could be enlisted in causes that could just dismiss the kind of ordinary political processes. So he's helping us understand that, no, you can't call people to a patriotism in order to overcome these kind of terrorist psychologies that are going on. And I think that's very instructive for us to understand that about the individuals who are acting. They're acting in a cosmic struggle, and they're doing God's bidding in their minds. They're praying for God's guidance. And you can't call them, well, don't you care about your town, or don't you care about these people here, or don't you care about
They're beyond that. That's a very different focus, you know, than years before. Years before, this global attitude. When we think of the apocalypticism, we also think of the biblical, you know, the Revelation, the Book of Revelation. And how has that been used in your research? How have people used that book or other passages from the biblical text to promote?
Yeah. Well, it's so mysterious, of course, and it talks about another way that we might participate in our own rhetoric in mainline Protestantism would be to talk about being post-empire or, you know, critical of, you know, the empire of capitalism or whatever it might be. And what we would say that we have to get back to thinking about more local connections or thinking beyond the empire. And so be quite critical of American capitalist colonialist reach. So, I mean, there's that kind of a question that occurs. And so in my own research, that of course, the Book of Revelation would be very useful for someone who's trying to be critical of empire, because it's critical of the Roman Empire.
Right, exactly.
So that the American Empire can be a stand-in for the Roman Empire. And so I think that the Book of Revelation functions that way for us. But, of course, Jesus has apocalyptic passages, the eschatological passages in Mark and in Matthew. So there are these chapters in the Bible where he talks about end times, and also in Daniel. So it's not only in the Book of Revelation, but and then in some of Isaiah too, depending on how you view the Book of Isaiah.
Exactly.
So those we have ample scriptural material and resources to help us in times of crisis. Now, one thing that you have, I think, probably to correct an apocalyptic overuse of apocalyptic, especially if apocalyptic is used like John Brown used it when he's going to start to, you know, get an armory together and shoot anyone who's coming because God's on his side. I mean, if you start to become violent with it, or you feel like you need to put on the whole armor of God, including an AK-47, in order to be able to advance your views. I mean, we live in such a violently prone culture already that it could become more ferocious than it had been before. So, I mean, I think that the Book of Revelation is also very useful to talk about the way that there is a positive new city of God imagined, a new world, a new creation that God imagines. So it's...
Yeah, it's there, but it's also, you know, one can see that in other parts of the Scripture as well.
Yeah. And Revelation is asking us to make choices about what kind of world we think is God's future.
Exactly.
And, I mean, I think, and also when you're asked to be making those kinds of choices, I'm convinced that the book is not just telling us to be passive, but is also asking us to make some choices. Once that is understood, then I think that you can use it in a more positive way to help to build a future. But if you are caught up in an idea that you have to be completely passive and let God handle all of the future, and you have not been called to any kind of discipleship that would commit you to the future, then I think it can be dangerous.
Okay, I can't believe it, but our time has run out. But I want to thank you for sharing your ideas and research on American Apocalyptic. And we look forward to having you on our next podcast.
And the world will not end.
That's right. Exactly.
Exactly.
My name is Nelson Strobe, and I've been talking with Professor Maria Erling, who is Professor of Modern Church History and Global Mission at the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Gettysburg. And we've been talking about American Apocalyptic. For the Seminary Explorers, have a good day.
You've been listening to The Seminary Explores from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Gettysburg. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. All opinions expressed on this program are those of the individual speakers and are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.